thought this morning is my life and my influence, and this is kind of the thought is kind of divided into two, and you'll understand as we get into it a little bit. And we think about my life, my influence. First of all, when we think about that word my, it signifies some ownerships, doesn't it? You know, when we think about things maybe that each and every one of us maybe that we have, that we own, we consider them ours. You know, we use these things all the time, we say my house or my car, or I mean just different things that belong to us, that we own, that we take care of. We have a kind of a pride and ownership of it, right? And it's things that we feel like that it belongs to us. You know, and we think about, you know, maybe we think that in terms of our own lives, you can say it's my life. And maybe you've heard somebody use that expression, it's my life. Well, when we think about that a little bit more, is it really, does your life really belong to you? Is it really yours? I mean, when we really take that thought and ponder it, are you the one that gave yourself life? I mean, in anything that you have, did you really have anything to do with it? Not really. You know, so when we have to kind of be careful when we say, well, it's my life, because really, yes, it is the life that God has given you. But, well, you know, what it causes us to think about is, now, what are we doing with it? And it also helps us to recognize also that life is also precious, isn't it? You know, when we hear about the different requests that come in from time to time, and, you know, it just helps us to know, and even Brother Henry mentioned it this morning, even in the life that the world that we live in today, so many things going on around us, life is really precious. It really is. It's here one moment, and it can be gone the next. And you know what? Help us to recognize that it is precious. And Lord, help us each one to live our lives in such a way that we treat it that way. I'd like to begin with a scripture in Romans, the 14th chapter, reading verses 7 and 8. Romans 14, verse 7 and verse 8. For none of us liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself, for whether we live, we live unto the Lord, whether we die unto the Lord, whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. So this scripture helps us to know that none of us live it to ourselves and none of us die to ourselves. In other words, that we belong to God. Whatever our place we are currently in life, we belong to God. Whoever we are, regardless of it applies to each and every one of us. Whatever our current state of life, whether we're a child, we have children in here, we have some parents, maybe you're a sibling, all these things matter, a co-worker, just a saint, maybe you're just a friend to somebody, all of these things matter, maybe you're someone's spiritual giant, maybe God has you in the position of maybe you're a minister or a pastor. This scripture applies to every one of us, all of us, we'll talk a little bit more about this a little bit later. But Lord, as we look into this verse, talk about none of us live to ourselves and none of us die to ourselves. We cannot go through this life with our own judgment and our own opinions. And, you know, because we recognize that I have to answer to God. When I realize that, when I say it's my life, but it's really, it's just kind of borrowed, really. It's something that's been given to me. So if I can't really go around and say, it's my life and I'm going to do with my life what I want to do. You can have that attitude, but I want you to know this morning that one day you will have to reckon for that. And we'll talk about that a little bit. So when we recognize that, you know what, I have to recognize that where it's coming from. It all comes from God. So then as I go through my life, I have to keep in mind that I want to act in accordance to not what I want, but what he wants. I have to act in accordance to his will and not mine. I'm recognizing that I'm going to have to, one day, I'm going to have to give an account for my life. I say it's my life, and yes, it is, but one day you're going to have to say, when God calls us, each one of us, and then he says, all right, I gave you life. What'd you do with it? And then we're going to have to answer. Then we'll have to answer for our life. And that's when it's going to be, what did I do with it? And help us to think about that. None of us live to ourselves. None of us die to ourselves. You know, it's we must be accountable to him alone for how we have each one of us lived our life. He's the master. God is our master, the writer says, and we must live to him as we live under his notice and by his bounty. And you know what? When we cease to live among men, that's when God is going to call upon us and say, now, what did you do? What did you leave undone? I gave you a life. I gave you a life. I had a specific purpose for you. Did you achieve the purpose that I had? Or was there some things maybe that you didn't do that I wanted you to do? You know, the business of our life, another writer says, is not to please ourselves, it's to please God. So it is my life, but I recognize it's a gift from God. That it is mine, but it's not mine. That it's his. It doesn't really belong to me. And I have to be reminded of that as we go through life. It's good to be reminded to say, yes, things that we just automatically do sometimes, maybe that we have a tendency to just take for granted. But we have to recognize, as one of the brothers mentioned in the prayer request, I thank God for this another day. Another day that he's extended life. And just recognizing, acknowledging that to God. Thank you, Lord. I'm still alive and breathing. I was able to open up my eyes this morning. And when I leaned over on the side of the bed and I put my feet down, they still worked. Thank the Lord. I was able to get up and walk around. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, you're giving me this day, Lord. What do you want me to do with it? Help me, Lord. I want to do today. Lord, you've given this day to me. Help me, Lord, to do something that can advance the kingdom of God in some kind of way. Help me, Lord, that I can be a helper and an encouragement to somebody today. We just have to be reminded of that from time to time. And help us to know how did we spend the life that God has given us. And you know, we can sometimes, maybe that's too big of a thought. Maybe that's too much to comprehend. So we can just take it one day at a time then. That's all we have anyways, right? So Lord, each day, Lord, help me today. That's the song says, show me the way one day at a time. I don't have to worry about, Lord, what do you want me to do 10 years from now? Oh, I don't think I'll be able to handle it. I won't be able to. You don't have to get caught up with that. Let's just one day at a time. You worry about that when it comes. God will take care of that. I can just do it one day at a time and allow him to bless and help me in my life. You know, we have to be reminded. There's a verse in Scripture in 1 Corinthians. This is just reinforcing this thought. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and the 20th verse. Ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We have been purchased, been bought with a price. He purchased our ransom. And therefore I have a responsibility now to glorify God in the things that I say and the things that I do. My life is given to God. And so what am I doing with it? It's mine, but it's a gift from Him. And help me, Lord, to do with my life, Lord, what you would have me to do. So another aspect of, in terms of our life, and the second, how these, this thought works together in terms of my influence. The scripture said, none of us live to ourselves and none of us die to ourselves. In other words, we belong to God, but then we also recognize that in this life that we live, that we have an influence and we have an effect on other people. So as I'm going through my life and I can say, well, you maybe you've heard somebody say, this is my life and I can do it with what I want to do. And it only affects me anyway. Not so. Amen. See, everything that you do has an influence on somebody else, whether you recognize it or not. We talked about this morning how this wherever we are currently in life, little children. Their lives have an effect on others. Those that have children, you know, some children, you got an older sibling, maybe. Maybe you are the oldest sibling. As the oldest sibling, you have an effect. Your lives have an effect on others. Whatever we are, wherever our parents, our lives have an effect. So we endeavor by God's grace to train and instruct our children. You know, we have different places of employment. Don't you know where you are, you have an influence on those around you? Doesn't matter whatever our current walk of life, we have an effect on other people. And you know what? A lot of times when you go around and you live life in the world, sometimes maybe you get the mindset really that's in the world is this. You know, you come across people that you just feel like they own the world. It's like they world and you just kind of living in it. Just different thing, you know, just observe things that happen from time to time. And it's like people act like this is mine and what are you? Get out the way. This is my world. Why, you know, but that's kind of the attitude that people have today. But you know what? They pretend like, well, everything belonged to me. You know, no, we don't live on an island and we don't live in a bubble, do we? So our life and how we live affects other people, both in a natural sense and spiritually. You know, I mean, how is it, you know, just people, you know, maybe you observe something, you maybe see somebody has some nice shoes and you're like, ooh, those are nice. Where'd you get those? Then what do you want to do? I'm going to get me a pair. I'm just using that as an example. You know, maybe if somebody, you see somebody driving by in the car, you're like, ooh, that's a nice, what kind of car is that? I've been looking at a car. So, you know, we're influenced by people around us. That happens naturally. But you know what? We realize that what's more important than that is the spiritual effect. The influence that I'm having on those around me in a spiritually speaking, as I'm living my life before them, what kind of effect am I having on them? That's the most important. And that's the most critical. And you know what? It helps us to know I have to treat that responsibility carefully. As I go through my life, recognizing that, I mean, it's going to benefit not only you, but it'll benefit them as well. If I'm endeavoring to live for God and please and honor Him in the way that He would have me to, right? Then it's going to be it's going to have a positive impact on my own life. But then the influence that I have on others is going to affect them in a positive way as well. I remember, and maybe I've shared this story before in terms of just the influence. And this is a natural example. I remember being a young father, and I had two young boys. They was, I don't know, 4 and 2 maybe, or maybe a little bit younger, 3 and 1. And one time I was watching them as we were sitting at the table eating, and I took note of how they were stuffing their mouths and had a mouthful of food, jaws out to here, trying to chew it. And I'm like, what in the world? What are these boys doing? You gonna choke. Then you know what I took note of? I took note of myself, what I was doing. I was putting a bunch of food in my mouth, had my jaws all big, trying to chew too much. And I was like, oh, that's where they got that from. See, the influence now. You know, they help me, Lord, to be careful. This is a natural example, but you know, the children watch. You know, children are intelligent. I mean, you probably, some of us that have had them realize that as they've grown up, but they observe and they watch things. So, Lord, help me. As my life has an influence. Let's go to Philippians, the 2nd chapter, 12th and the 13th verse.
Wherefore,
it says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Go.
For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So each and every one of us, we have a responsibility to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Again, it's your life. It's something that each and every one of us have to work out individually, but recognize as we work it out now that it's going to have effect on those around us. You know, so one writer says this, if we don't watch and pray and continually depend on God, says your enemies will surprise you and your life and light will become extinct. So, Lord, as I'm, you know, it's a great responsibility that each and every one of us has. Your relationship, your salvation is with you and God, and you have to treat it carefully. Because you don't want it to be in such a place where somebody can look at you and say, well, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so is doing it that way. So then I can, well, if it's okay for them, it must be okay for me. We have to be careful. In terms of, I want God's stamp of approval on every aspect of my life. So as I'm going through on a daily basis, working my soul's salvation with fear and trembling, I'm saying, Lord, is your approval on my life? I want you to your approval. I want to put myself in the place where you want me to be. And the benefit of it is if I have that attitude and mindset, that's going to be the best situation, not only for my own salvation, but it's going to be a help and encouragement to somebody else. And it's going to be such that it's going to cause others to be led closer to God and not farther apart. When those that are around us and those that we have an influence on, when they look on us and they can be encouraged and inspired to know, I want to do like that. I want to get a little closer. I don't want to get further away from him. We must give an account. We must give an account to him. Every good word and every good work must come from God. As we're working, you know, it says work out your soul salvation with fear and trembling. And then it talks about God working in us both to will and do in his, of his good pleasure. So I'm presenting myself to God and I'm saying, Lord, work with me. And in turn, God is, he's saying, all right, child, I'll work with you. But I have to furnish a will, like Brother Johnson talks about. I have to say, Lord, maybe I'm not in the place where you want me to be in, but by your grace and strength, I'm going to get there. That's God working in us. That's the part of that verse that says God working both to will and do of his good pleasure. Yeah, that's him saying, I'm not going to just leave you alone all by yourself. I'm going to help you out. And I'm going to help you get to by his grace and strength, not my own, going to help me to get to the place where he would want me to get. Live our lives with God's stamp of approval in such a way that we encourage others to draw closer to God and not to be pulled further away from him. That we are an encourager and not a discourager. I don't want my life or my example to be an excuse for somebody else to use. I'm going to say that one more time. As I was studying and the Lord brought this to my mind, it's like, Lord, help me. I don't want my life or an example to be an excuse that somebody else uses, because you know what? I'm going to be held accountable. I'm going to have to stand before God and God is saying this because of that. There's this one and that one that I don't want to be in that place. Help us to treat that carefully. I want to be an example of the believers. Endeavor by his grace to be faithful. And in the responsibilities, in the difficulties that I have to go through, that others can see, you know what? They're working out their salvation and they're getting a little bit closer to God in the midst of difficult situations. Think about this word, influence. That's in today's world. That's a job, right? I'm not super versed in all the new social anything, but I understand that's right. There's something they call influencers. Is that right? And they get paid. So it's a profession where you can get paid to be an influencer. Right? Isn't that what companies will pay people, because you have, again, this is out of my realm, but they have so many followers, right? And there's so many people that follow, or so many people that are attracted to them, that they can influence particular products, right? And then they get paid for it, because that's more eyes that get to see that product, right? So then the company will pay them, because they have all these people that they can be drawn to this particular product. It's a new concept, huh? No. Influencers have been around for years. They've been around for years. And you know what? Influencers have been getting paid for years too. Huh? We can read all about stories in the Bible about different ones that influence somebody to make heaven their home. And we're talking about a reward that is priceless. And not only that, you know, I would seem like in today's world, if there's multiple influencers, they could be in competition with one another, right? Right? The type of influencing that we can do, we don't have to worry about competition, because we all get the same prize. It's been going on for years. And heaven is a reward for all those that endeavor by God's grace to live right. And we can all get the same benefit. Isn't that wonderful? I like us to look at, there's many examples that we could look at. There's many examples in the Bible of those that their lives had an effect on other people's. And knowing that, we're just going to look at one this morning. I just want to look at some highlights of their life. I'm going to talk about Brother Daniel this morning. And just the how he was an influencer. And how the influence that he had not only on those around him, maybe those that in his close sphere of his inner circle, but also over those all around him. So Daniel, let's begin. We'll just read a few verses for the sake of time this morning. We won't read all of them, but I just want to take note of a few things that Daniel did throughout his life. I'll start with Daniel, the first chapter and the 8th verse. But Daniel purposed in his heart
that he would not defile himself
with the portion of the king's meat,
nor with the wine which he drank.
Therefore he requested of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So you can read the whole story. But you know where it was, where there was a certain portion of food that was be given to those that were under the king's direction. And he chose, no, I don't want it. I don't want to be defiled with that. I'm going to eat something else. So he purposed in his heart that I'm going to choose to go a different route with that. I don't want to partake of those things. So he said, I don't want to defile myself with that. So I'm going to eat something else. And as you read through the story, what you find is that he was stronger and more alert or smarter, I guess we could say, than those that had partaken of the king. So he began to set himself apart. Don't you think that that had an effect on some folks around him? That people took note? Wait a minute. He chose not to go this way. He chose not to partake of these things. He's going this route. And it's something different about him. He's got more strength. And his mind is keener and sharper. So they took note. It was taken notice of. So then you fast forward a little bit in the story. And the king had a dream now. And he was just all tore up about it because he couldn't figure out what it meant. And then he had all these folks that were supposed to help him understand what it was supposed to mean. And they couldn't figure it out either. So he was like, just destroy all of them. So Daniel heard about it. And he's like, wait, don't do that quite yet. So what did he do? He said, I know some brothers. I'm going to call on them. We're going to call for prayer. See, influence now. Huh? There's a situation here. I need some reinforcements now. I'm going to call on some faithful brothers here. And y'all get under the burden and pray with me. And we're going to look to the Lord to bless in this situation. So we go down to Daniel, the 2nd chapter, began reading at verse 16. We get a little bit of the context here.
Daniel went in.
He desired of the king that he would give him time. So don't just give me a little time. Don't get rid of all of us now. Just give me a little bit of time.
And I'll shew
the king the interpretation.
He went into his house,
made the thing known
to Hananiah,
Mishael,
Azariah,
his companions,
that they would desire mercies of God
concerning this secret,
that Daniel and his fellows should not perish
with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. The Daniel blessed the God of heaven. He answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. So take note now. See? He said, brothers, I need you to get under the burden with me for this situation. They prayed and God heard and answered prayer. Where did he give the glory to? He gave it to God, didn't he? He gave it to God. And now you think about this. What kind of influence did they have on the king and those around them? These are some the brothers that they have a relationship with God. God is working in their lives, and we can it's evident by what we see. And they all and gave the glory and the honor and the praise to God. So we fast forward a little bit, and his three fellows, they were appointed as brethren over the affairs of the providence. So because of how the influence that Daniel had and how they pulled together and God blessed it work, they were put in a position. Now, what happens when you get put in position? God gonna test, right? So you know the story. Again, I'm just summarizing it here this morning for the sake of time, but you know what happened with them. They made a stand for God. The king made an idol, and he said, I want everybody to bow down and worship this idol. But these brothers took a stand. They said, no, we're not going to do this. We'll read just a few of the verses in Daniel 3 and 16, 17 and 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they answered and said, so you know the king is basically saying at the time, and you know the story. If you don't know it, you can read about it here in Daniel, the third chapter. He basically had this idol that he had set up, and he said, when the music plays, I want everybody to bow down. And they said, I don't think so. All right. Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve, he is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. Let me give a little bit more context. For if you don't know the story, what was going to happen if you didn't bow down to this idol that he had made, then whoever didn't was going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. So these brethren said, no, we're not going to bow down to this idol. We serve Almighty God. And we've already recognized his hand working in our lives, and we're not going to bow down to this image. So their response to the king was, we're not even careful to answer you in this matter. We're not going to bow down to this image and this idol. Because he said, he will, pick it up there, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee that we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So they purposed in their heart, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. And you can continue reading in the story, but you know what happened? God came. They got thrown in the fire. God didn't deliver them from the fire, but guess what? He was right in there with them. He was right in there with them in the midst of it, and they all came out without a smell of smoke, without a tinge of ashes or anything on them. They came out in the name of Jesus. Do you think that had an influence on that whole kingdom? You know, how many lives were affected by these three brethren that said, we're not bowing down. We're not going to bow down. We're going to stand up. How many lives did they influence? And here we're still reading about it today, thousands of years later, and we are encouraged to know that God is still the same. He'll be with me through whatever my fiery furnace might be. We can be encouraged to know that God will be with us. You continue on and you read a little bit more about Daniel. And Daniel took a stand with praying, didn't he? Yeah. He had a special place that he went and prayed. He opened up his window and he prayed. And then there was some folks, you know, who endeavor to live for the Lord. I'm just going to tell you, everybody's not going to like you. Everybody's not, it's just, but you know what? It don't matter because God is on your side. That's the most important thing. God is on your side. Maybe you have interactions with somebody where you just can't seem to do anything right. Maybe they find fault with everything that you do. Just keep living right. Just keep endeavoring by the grace of God and be a spiritual influence. They just don't. God can do it. And when you find your strength getting low, say, Lord, I need some more. Help me out, Lord. I'm in the midst of this situation. I need some more because I want you to shine out. So Daniel, he had some fellows that didn't like him. And they figured out a way to get rid of him. So they tricked the king and telling him, you know what? You should pass a decree. And if anybody prays to anybody's, any God other than you, then you should throw them in the lion's den. And the king, yeah, that's a good idea. But you know what? God had been faithful to Daniel. I mean, he had already been with him all, you know. He brought him all through all of that. He knew he wasn't going to leave him now. So you know what happened. When Daniel, in the 6th chapter of Daniel, in the 10th verse, and when he knew the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his window being open in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. What kind of influence you think that had on those around that observed this? Everybody knew what the proclamation was, that if you pray to any other God, that you're going to be thrown into the lion's den. But yet he had a purpose of heart. It started back in the 1st chapter, didn't it? That purpose of heart, that's where it started. He's like, I'm going to keep on holding on. And what did God do for him? I like to say, you know, you read the story, you know, he got thrown into the lion's den. I believe he had the best night of sleep ever in his life with a lion as a pillow. God was faithful to him. And we're still talking about it now. He was an influencer thousands of years ago. There's a song that talks about dare to be a Daniel. It's a children's song. It says standing by one of the verses says standing by a purpose true, heeding God's command, honor them, the faithful few, all hail to Daniel's band. You know what? We can be influencers right now today. We can be, Daniel's now, in this life, we can have that same effect on others. You know, maybe the circumstances aren't exactly the same, but when we endeavor by God's grace to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, we can be a help and encouragement to somebody else. And we can help them to keep on keeping on. You know, we talked about a little bit on Wednesday night about how important it is to meet together and be encouraged one with another, knowing that it's important when we see others that are in the same fight that we're in. We all fighting the same devil. He's trying to discourage all of us. But when we see each other still pressing on, it's an encouragement to us. And we can know that when we see brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so on Sunday and on Wednesday, we still seeing them pressing on. We can be encouraged to know that by the grace and by the help of God, they're being an influence in their sphere, that they're having an effect on those around them, wherever they might be. At home, on your job, just wherever you go, that you can have an effect on those around you, because the life that God has given you, you're endeavoring to live it in a way that's pleasing and honoring to Him. And we're going to face some opposition. That's going to happen. But you know what? As one of the verses of the song says, we can stand for the truth and right, and we can meekly hold the true position, standing firm. Because as we endeavor by God's grace to live in a way that's pleasing and honoring to Him, I don't want anything that I do to be an excuse for somebody else. What kind of influence am I having as a child, as a parent, as a sibling, as a coworker, as a saint, as a friend, as someone's spiritual mentor? What kind of influence am I having as a minister, as a pastor? Help me, Lord. Lord, you've given me my life. It's a gift from you. It's not mine. Each day you give is a gift from you. Help me, Lord, to live my life in a way that I have your stamp of approval. And the influence, that my influence is such that it's drawing people closer to God. It's an influence that's uplifting and encouraging people, and not one that's pushing people away. You know, these things we can't do of our own accord. We need the Lord to help us. So it's my desire, by His grace and by His strength, with the life that He has given me, that I would have the influence that He would want me to have in the world today. Whatever position He may put me in, wherever I may go, whatever I may do, that I can be His representative. That whatever goes on, that I can show forth what He would want me to show forth and be the influence that He would have me to be. I desire your prayers. I appreciate your time and your attention this morning.